Well, we've been on a series Sunday mornings for a while now calling it Try the Spirits. Excuse me. I'm gonna try it again. It's from 1 John 4, if you'd turn there. I think I was swallowing and talking at the same time. You ever done that? I don't recommend it. Don't do it. Do one or the other. 1 John 4 is our text where we get this phrase from. He said verse 1, 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. When he says try the spirits, that word try means to test or to examine, to prove. And so we're testing them to what end? Whether they're of God or not. So just the fact that it says spirits, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Are there spirits? Yes. This is not human beings, flesh and blood, that he's talking about. You know, Jesus said that because after he was raised from the dead and they saw him, the disciples saw him at one point, they were scared. He said, touch me, because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like you see me have. Right. So a spirit refers to an unseen entity. And if you believe the Bible, which we do, and if you're new with us and want to know what we're like, we're big on the Bible.
Amen. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Very big.
Very.
On the Bible. Amen. It's like Bible in the morning, Bible at lunchtime.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Bible when the sun goes down, Bible when you go to bed, yes. When you get up in the morning. So if you don't like the Bible, it's going to be an issue. Because we're just going to talk about it all the time.
Amen.
But if you don't like the Bible, you should get a revelation and get converted.
Amen.
Because it is the Word of God.
It is. Yes.
And it is all true and right and perfect and good. There's no book like it in the world. And the Scripture talks about spirits. I mean, Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the New Testament, the gospel accounts, the epistles, every part of the Bible includes reference to spirits. Spirits. You are a spirit. You're not just a body. And the spirit is the inside of you. Your body is actually your house. The Bible calls it your tabernacle. It's where you live. But you can live outside of this body. And you will. The Lord doesn't come beforehand. You'll live out your days. You will leave your body. That's what death is. Death is called departure. And if you could back off above the earth, above the atmosphere, and see into the spirit realm, you would see there is a continual stream of arrivals and departures. Spirits. What are arrivals? Births. Births. Well, it's actually prior to that. It would be conception. And then what are departures? That's when the spirit leaves the body. There will be scores of thousands. I guess it's like some 160,000, 70,000 every 24 hours die. There's two about every second and a half die somewhere on the planet. And so what happened is, while I'm talking, you know, two more, two more, two more, somewhere on the earth. And what happened is they quit breathing and their spirit comes out of their body like a hand comes out of a glove. Amen. Like a foot comes out of a boot or a shoe. And they don't turn into an angel. They don't stop being them. And as soon as they come out, they go up or they go down. They don't hang around. Now, why do you say that? People talk about spirits of people haunting places. And there's all this goofy stuff about people being caught between this world and the next, and something has to happen before they can get over. That's junk. That's nonsense. As soon as you come out of your body, if you're born again, if you belong to God, you go up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're happy about it. If you have rejected God all your life, you don't go up. You go down. Down, down, down into darkness, outer darkness, and a place of torment. Now, I know people don't like to believe that, but it doesn't matter what you believe. It's either true or it's not. And everybody, when they die, you're going to find out. No matter what you thought or believed, you're going to find out. And if you reject God all your life, you find out too late. And somebody says, well, I can't accept a God who is love sending someone to a hell, a place of torment. He didn't send them. It's not his choice. It was their choice. If you don't want God and you don't want to be with him, there's only one other place to go. It's with the enemy and his bunch. So no, you don't blame God. They had a lifetime to make the right choice. And if you haven't made that choice, don't you leave this church house today until you do, because you're not. You might say, I'm not very old. I'm just going to live my life, and maybe before I die, you're assuming some things. Part of that 170,000 that die in the next 24 hours, they're not all old. Bunch of them are young. You're not guaranteed, especially if you're not a believer. But if you are a believer and you commit to follow him, he can keep you, protect you until you live your whole life, finish your course. He said, with long life, I'll satisfy you, show you my salvation. But that doesn't belong to you if you're an unbeliever. That doesn't belong to you. He doesn't owe you protection if you reject him. I'm glad I'm a believer. Amen. How about you?
Yes.
How'd we get into all that? Spirits. So down in the heart of the earth, there are a lot of spirits that used to be on the earth. And up in heaven, there's a lot of spirits that used to be on the earth. I got relatives there. You? Yeah. We'll see them again. God the Father, the scripture said, is spirit. The Holy Spirit is obviously spirit. But there's also a devil. And they're evil spirits. And they, they're holy angels and evil spirits. And people, so many times, they don't like to talk about these things. They either say, oh, that's nonsense, I don't believe in all that stuff. Or, like I said before, people either get scared or weird. Talking about it and thinking about it. No, we need to know what's going on. But as a believer, we need to know we have authority in the name of the Master. And we should not be afraid of any of these things. But you do need to know what to resist.
Amen.
And what to yield to. So important. Now in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and 11th verse, we touched on this, but I want to go further today. 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So the more ignorant you are, the less you know and understand about spirit activity on the devil's side, the enemy's side, you are at a disadvantage. The enemy has an advantage over you. And that's where much of the world is. Much of the world, they don't believe these things exist. So they're not resisting it. And when the enemy is influencing them, they just believe it's them. They don't realize there are outside forces trying to influence them. And that's how these things, the result of their activity is influence. The Holy Spirit is endeavoring to influence you one way.
Right.
Toward good.
Right.
And evil spirits are endeavoring to influence you to evil or to bad. And you don't have to have discerning of spirits and see into the realm of the Spirit to see these things, to know they're active and to know what they're doing. The scripture said, Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. You'll recognize them by what they're producing, by the results, by what's happening. And this passage said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, because we're not ignorant of his devices. And this word devices in the King James is the only time it's translated this way. Four other times it's translated mind. Mind. It's also translated thought or thoughts. And so I don't really know why they translated it devices here, because consistent with the rest of the book would be either mind or thoughts. And that is where the battlefield is.
Amen.
That's where it is. It's the mind. We're not ignorant of his thoughts, of his mind attacks. That's where it happens. And let me read to you this same word, this translated device here. And I want you to see how it's used, because it's talking about the same thing. In the third chapter, this is the second chapter, just one chapter over, 3:14. 3:14 says, their minds were blinded. The word mind there, same word translated device in the previous verse. Their minds were blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Just turn over a page or wherever it is in yours. 4:4, in whom the god of this world has blinded the
mind.
That's the same word translated devices in the second chapter. The god of this world has done what?
Blinded
the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. This is why so many people are lost. They don't see it. They've heard part of the gospel, many of them, but they don't see it. And they don't realize that the reason they don't see it is because wrong spirits are doing this.
Yeah.
Wrong spirits are blinding not just their natural eye, their mind.
Yeah.
blinding their mind so they can't see that the gospel is true. You know, there are millions of people on the planet. They hear the gospel that we love so much. And to them, it just sounds like religious ramblings. Huh? When it is the glorious light of salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. But all they don't see it. They don't see it because their mind is blinded. And it's not because they're not intelligent or not smart enough. It's because their spiritual activity at work keep them from seeing it. Aren't you glad one day the blinders came off of your mind? Woo! And you saw the light of the gospel? And you are saved? Oh, hallelujah! Oh, how we ought to thank God every day of our life that we're not blind and lost like most of the world. Go to the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The 10th chapter. Verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You don't wrestle against spirits with physical effort. Huh? You can't punch an evil spirit with your physical fist. You wish you could, but you can't. Because they're not material. They're spirit. And to many people, spirit is imaginary. Not so. God's not imaginary. He's spirit. You are not imaginary. You're spirit. You're sitting there right now looking at me through those two windows we call eyes. But your body is not you. It's the house you live in. You're inside there. And you'll exist beyond this body. Somebody say, I'm going up.
I'm going up.
Not down. I'm going up.
I'm going up.
I laughed, but this is no laughing matter. And you can't be good enough to save yourself. Somebody says, well, you know, you hear all this stuff about, you know, well, I hope when I get to the pearly gates, it ain't pearly, it's a pearl. And I see old St. Peter there, and he checks me out. I hope I've done a good enough stuff to get in. Well, you're lost then. You cannot do enough good stuff to be saved. Nobody could. If you could, then you didn't need Jesus. No, we are relying entirely on what He did.
Amen.
To save us.
Yes.
Huh? I'm relying entirely. Now, when it comes to what we've done, if we've done some good things, we'll get reward for that. But that won't determine whether we're saved or not. Our salvation, you don't earn. Couldn't earn. And so you're not relying on how good you've been. And so not being good enough doesn't keep you out. Hallelujah. Thank God. So everybody said out loud, I am relying.
I am relying.
Entirely.
Entirely.
On what Jesus has done.
On what Jesus has done.
To save me.
To save me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why I can sleep good at night.
Amen.
Knowing that if I died in my sleep, I'm going straight to be with the Lord. Why? Not because I've been so amazing a person. Because I have accepted and received what He has done for me. And that's more than enough. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient for me. And I am saved and I will be saved because of what He has done. Thank you, Lord. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the strongholds that he's specifically referring to are those of the mind.
Yes.
mind. Notice the next verse. Casting down what?
Imaginations.
And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. That word thought, same word translated devices. Over in 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're not ignorant of his devices. It's the word thought. The battlefield is the mind. We have not taken thoughts seriously enough. Not even remotely. Thoughts are not nothing. They come from somewhere. They are spiritual. They have a spiritual origin. They're coming from somewhere. And you and I, it's our responsibility to keep our own heart and mind. And when these wrong thoughts come against us, instead of just letting them come in and sitting around and thinking about them and dwelling on them and eventually talking about them and doing them, we try it. We test it. We examine it. And then we go, this is not God. This is not right. And the moment you identify it as not right, tell me what you do. Come on, what do? You cast it. Cast is a strong word. It means throw. You throw it out. You throw it down. You say no. No, I'm not believing that. I'm not thinking on that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not doing that. And nobody can do that for you. Only you can do that. But for one thing, who knows what's going on inside your head? Right? And nobody can control your thoughts for you. They can't. This is something nobody else can do for you. But if you don't do something about it, wrong thoughts will sit on you. These wrong influences will stay against you. And they will influence you the wrong way. They will tempt you. They will push you. They will confuse you. They will depress you. Any number of things they will do. And the thing is, you don't have to be afraid about all that. The great thing about being a believer is the greater one lives inside of you. And you got the authority and power in the name above all names. And if you'll open your mouth and say, no, shut up. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Take your thoughts with you. Then you'll be relieved. Now, I'm not saying he won't bring them back, because he will. But you got to do the same thing again. As many times as he brings it. And the Bible said after the enemy had tempted Jesus those 40 days and nights, that he left him for a season. He ran out of things to do. And so you'll have seasons where you get more, you know, you're less to deal with. But long as you're down here, the enemy's down here too. And he'll try to mess with you, but you just never give in to him. Amen. Never let him in. So, go with me, if you would, to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And I want us to get into some specifics about what to resist. Identifying these wrong, the scripture said, try the spirits. So how do we identify them? By what? What do we measure them against? How can we tell for sure, without actually seeing in the realm of the spirit, how can we tell that's a wrong spirit? That's a wrong spirit. Well, let's be specific about it. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 17. He said, this I say therefore and testify, that you henceforth from now on don't walk like other Gentiles walk, ungodly, in the what? Vanity of what? Of their mind. The emptiness is one word. Or uselessness. We should occupy our mind with good things.
Amen.
Profitable things. Not empty, useless, or even bad things. In fact, before you finish reading this, put up Philippians, please. The 4th chapter and the 6th verse. Philippians 4:6. Be careful, that means full of care and anxious about how much?
Nothing.
Is it true that you can go every day and night and not be scared and worried?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
He said, don't do it. But in it, what do you do instead of worry? You pray. And you give thanks. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Keep going. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep what? Your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, the Anointed One. Verse 8. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Have your mind full of this.
Amen.
What? True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Should you be thinking about the bad report all the day? No, you should be thinking about the good report.
Amen.
And it's our choice what we think on. Romans 8 says it like this. To be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Does it matter what we think on? According to Romans 8, I just quoted, it's life and death. What you think on. Some thoughts minister death to you. Now that doesn't mean you'll just die on the spot. But incipient death, degrees of death affecting you mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, your home, your family, your marriage. Death. Being fleshly, carnal means flesh. And remember he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, this is amazing. This is amazing that you and I have the ability to be looking at the wrong thing, thinking on the wrong thing, and it's ministering death to us. It's robbing us of our joy and our peace. We're feeling confused. We're feeling oppressed. We're feeling depressed and hopeless. Why? Because when you put your mind on those evil thoughts, it connected you with a stream of death.
That's
how people get suicidal. And the amazing truth is, that by God's grace, I can go, no, 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 in Jesus' name, I cast all that down and I can turn and focus on what He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I can focus on Him, what He said to me and what He said I have, what He said I am, what He said I can do, and it connects me to a stream of life. Life is coming into me. Now, instead of going down, I start coming up, hallelujah, and begin to blossom and strengthen. And it was my choice what I put my mind on and kept my mind on.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Whew. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be hopeless. I don't have to be full of fear. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be defeated.
Glory.
To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody like some more life? Huh? Some more peace? All you got to do is change the channel. That's all you got to do. Is get you, and if you say, well, I can't help it, I don't want to think those ugly thoughts, but I can't help it. That's a lie. You're believing a lie. Your mind is your mind. The enemy cannot force you to think on things against your will. He can't. I said he can't.
Amen.
Said out loud, my mind,
my mind
is my mind.
Is my mind.
I don't have to
think on
anything.
I don't choose to.
It's my mind. Well, isn't he telling us this? Don't be carnally minded, be spiritually minded. Cast down these thoughts. If you couldn't do it, he wouldn't have told you to do it. The fact that he told us to think on these things instead of that means we can.
Amen.
Somebody say, I can, I can.
I can.
I can think on
what I choose to.
Hallelujah. Think on these things. Now go to Ephesians 4. Let's continue with this. Ephesians 4, 17 again. This I say and testify in the Lord that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, isn't it what we just got through describing? Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And we just got through seeing in 2 Corinthians why that blindness occurs. The enemy, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. What happens is thoughts from wrong spirits, and they're accompanied by feelings as well. Feelings. And that's why sometimes people are going along pretty good, and all at once they just have some terrible feelings. And they're like, where did that come from? I was having a good day, and I just feel so yucky. Resist it!
Amen.
Silly! Don't sit down and accept it. Huh? Resist it. I don't know why I'm just feeling so bad today. I do, because you're being lazy. Spiritually lazy. Resist that evil mess. Kick it out. Cast it down. Tell it it has no place in you. We don't do depressed. And we don't. We do peace that passes understanding. That's what we do. Having the understanding darkened. So if you think on thoughts from wrong spirits, it's darkness that's the result. If you think on the thoughts from the Holy Spirit, it's light and life. He said, verse 19, he said, they being past feeling have given themselves over. This is a yielding, a giving into, and a yielding to lasciviousness. That's a King James word. It just means no control, no self-control, no restraint. Just letting it go. And to work all uncleanness with greediness. We saw in Mark 5, I guess that was last weekend or whenever it was, about that man in Mark 5 had an unclean spirit. And the word unclean means just what you would think. It means impure. It's also sometimes translated filthy. Interacting with these wrong spirits is defiling. Thank God there is washing and cleansing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
By the water of the Word and by regeneration of the Holy Spirit and from sin and doing wrong by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
But if you yield to these wrong spirits, it contaminates you. They're nasty. They're filthy. Keep going. Verse 20. You have not so learned Christ. You won't get that from the Lord. If so be you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. This is, now what, I'm going to begin to draw a contrast. An evil spirit will never try to influence you to tell the truth. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts or desires. And be renewed. Where? Where? In the spirit of where? That's where the battlefield is. The battlefield is the mind. That's where it is. And, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, when the Holy Spirit is influencing you, bringing thoughts to you, they will be righteous thoughts. They will be holy thoughts. Come on, can you see this? The enemy, wrong spirits, will never try to influence you to righteousness. Wrong spirits will never try to influence you to holiness. They will try to influence you to nastiness, uncleanness, right? Wrongness. You don't have to see into the spirit to realize it's a bad spirit. Keep going, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Here's one of the big ones. Will the Holy Spirit ever influence you to lie?
No.
Ever?
No.
For any? Is there any possible scenario? Never. Anybody that suggested there might be is confused and being influenced by a wrong spirit. Huh? Mm-mm. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Isn't He? He will never, under any circumstances, influence you to lie. Ever. But you know who will? The father of lies. Right? The father of lies. I mean, that's one of His main things. Is lying. It's like some people say, if His lips are moving, He's lying. You know you're hearing some lies. And the thing is, He's crafty. He's a crafty liar. I mean, He'll throw in a verse. He'll throw in a scripture that's true and right. But before He gets through talking about it, He's going to lie to you. Right? He's going to lie to you. So put away lying and speak the truth. And verse 26, be angry and sin not. The reason I'm touching on these, we're going to look at some others, depending on when. Maybe you can come back next week. But these are two of the big ones. Lying and anger. The enemy uses these things. And the anger is where he leads up to saying, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Amen. Through, and specifically, this covers the whole realm of it. But specifically, he was talking about anger. Let me read some other translations to you of this. The New Living says, don't sin by letting anger control you. And don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For Anger gives a foothold to the devil. Anger. I've seen people do this. There's more than one word that describes these things in the New Testament. There's the word anger. There's also the word wrath. And the word wrath means a heaving. You're heaving. You're so mad. And a boiling over. I've seen people do this, literally. They're so mad that they're just heaving. Just, you know, and sometimes it's the result of them just stewing in it for days. And that's when people do things they can't take back. Huh? Attack people, kill people. Well, who's behind that? Who's involved in that? Who is moving on them to get so mad until they are just, they get mindless? You hear people say, well, I didn't realize what I was doing. Well, yeah, it's because you yielded that stupid thing for 3 weeks. Got in that state. It's the devil. According to New Testament scripture that I just read, we believers are forbidden over staying mad over it past sundown. That wasn't a good enough response. I know some people can say, well, I've been mad about that for 4 years. I know. And what you hadn't realized is you had stinky, nasty demons in your house sitting in the chair with you while you sit there and fume and heave and get mad like no child of God should do. Now, we've all made mistakes, but let's learn. And let's stop this. Neither give place. Don't give any space, any opportunity, any access to the enemy in your life. And two of the big ones that you can slam the door is no more lying. Are y'all with me? None. None. Huh? Phone rings and they look at you and go, are you here? Are you serious? Now you're laughing. But people say, well, that's just a little white lie. A what? A what? A what? Now you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it's a wrong spirit. The Holy Spirit has never suggested to you that you tell a lie. Never tried to influence you to hide the truth and leave the wrong impression, to deceive. Never, ever, ever. That was only ever a wrong spirit. Now that doesn't mean you're possessed. It's coming against you from the outside, bringing these thoughts and feelings and suggestions, but it's entirely up to us whether we yield to it or not. And you can't use it once in a while without yielding to a wrong spirit. You just have to be done with it. Come on, everybody, say it out loud. No more lying.
No more lying.
At all.
At all.
Anytime.
Anytime.
For any reason.
All lying
is of the devil.
And I give no place
to the devil in my life. And this anger thing, he said, I'm going to read another translation. It says, NCV says, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Don't give space to him. Don't give opportunity to him. The Living Bible says it like this, verse 25. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. Anybody confused about that part? I'm going to go over it real slow again. Huh? Stop lying. Tell the truth. Everybody clear on this?
Yes.
For we're parts of each other. When we lie to each other, we're hurting ourselves, the Living Bible says. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. When you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. The scripture said in James, the wrath of man, it does not work the rightness or righteousness of God. The Holy Spirit would never move on you to heave in rage against somebody. That's a wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. So, we're human. He's allowing that you could get angry about something. Right? But, what do you do? Come on, help me out with him. You got to get it fixed. Right? I mean, you are commanded. I am commanded to get over it. Get over the anger within hours. Right? I didn't say that. He said that. And don't say you can't, because he knew whether you could or not when he said it. And the problem that people have is they keep thinking about it. Right? I mean, they get their mind on something else and they kind of forget about it and they're not so mad. But then the enemy brings the thoughts to them. Do you remember how that so-and-so did to you, that sorry, low down, huh? And replay it for you, replay it for you. And if you sit there and rehash it and go over it, you will get angrier and angrier and angrier. Huh? And not realize you got spirits that are enjoying theirself, working you into a frenzy, hoping they can get this, you know, faith person or this preacher to get so mad they will do something stupid and wind up in the paper or on the news. Do you see what I'm saying? Is it worth it?
No.
For one thing, I'm born again.
Amen.
The devil is not my Lord.
Right.
He has nothing in me. He doesn't control me. He's not over me.
Right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? I refuse to let him use my mind for his evil thoughts. Use my mouth to say his evil things. Use my hands to do his evil work. These hands belong to Jesus. This mind belongs to the head of the church. These lips belong to the Lord. I speak his words. I don't beat people up and hurt people. I lay hands on them to be healed. Come on here with me. I don't cuss people out. I speak blessing over them and increase. I don't try to hurt them. I try to help them even if they tried to hurt me. I sow something good because I want to reap something good. And above, I don't want any of these evil spirits in my life anywhere. But that's up to me whether I yield to them or not. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Now, when would the Holy Spirit ever deal with you to steal something? Never. You see what I'm talking about? These things are not that hard to distinguish. The Holy Spirit never dealt with you or prompted you or tried to influence you to steal something that's not yours and take it from somebody else. Never. Never will. How many remember that's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not steal. But rather let him labor. Uh-oh. You got to go to work? That's why a lot of people are in trouble. Just sitting at home all day, yielding to wrong thoughts, getting worked up into a depression or into hopelessness or into a rage. When if you're out busy, I could use at least two amens on that. If you're out working, Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. One of the big reasons for us working is not just to make a living, but to make a giving. Seed to sow, and then we live on the harvest of our seed. So, which means you can live way beyond your salary. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. When's the last time the Holy Spirit prompted you to cuss?
Never.
Never happened. Never will. And see, part of that is getting so mad. A lot of times that's connected with getting so upset and so mad, and people, you know, using all kind of bad language. Somebody said, well, what's the big deal about it? The spirits associated with it is the big deal. These things are not nothing. These influences, these pushes, these temptations, they're real. They're coming from somewhere. And they are to be, they must be, by the child of God, they must be resisted. The world's going to do what they do. And the scripture says they're going to get worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't cuss like they do. We don't pitch fits like they do. Come on, y'all with me? We don't get depressed and hopeless like they do and full of fear. We are a different people.
Yes.
We have a different spirit.
Yes.
Yes. Different spirit.
That's it. Yes.
And that is a witness of light in this dark world. When people see you in a situation where they would be cussing and pitching a fit and trying to hurt somebody, and you are as cool as can be and in faith and talking victory, and they go, man, what? How do you do that? You say, I'm glad you asked. Sit down. Is that right?
Yes.
Let me tell you,
yes, sir,
about my best friend.
Thank you. Praise God.
Let me tell you about peace. You can't get in a bottle or a pill. Peace that passes understanding. We're supposed to live this to where people see it. Now, the only way that's going to happen is that when these wrong spirits come, because they will come. And they could try to push you into a rage, or push you into a cussing fit, or push you into depression and all that kind of stuff. You must stand against it. You must not just sit there and take it and think it. You got to stand up on the inside and speak against it and cast it down and say, no, 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 no. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We don't cuss people out. We build people up. We edify. Build up. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he mentions things that would grieve him. Let all bitterness and wrath, that's that word for this boiling and heaving and rage and anger and clamor. That's being loud and uncontrolled and pushy. Evil speaking. And that's talking against people and posting stupid stuff against people you should not. Y'all with me? And with all malice, that just means all evil, all badness. That kind of thing grieves the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're yielding to his enemy and ignoring him. He's trying to influence you to do the right thing, and you're yielding to the enemy. But then he says, be kind one to another. There's no demon that ever tried to influence you to be kind or patient. Tender-hearted. There is no bad spirit that ever said you need to be tender-hearted. They will influence you to be hard-hearted, harsh, forgiving one another. There's no evil spirit They never said you need to forgive them and let that go. They'll say you need to kill them. You need to hurt them. You need to get back at them. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Here's what we need to do. We need to not grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to grieve evil spirits. Do you know what I mean by that? Why? We won't yield to them. We won't work with them. They're doing everything they know to push us, to trick us, to influence us, and we just won't cooperate. We need to frustrate them and grieve them and keep them waiting year after year after year, and we won't let them use our mind to bring all our filthy thought. We won't let them use our mouth. We won't let them use our hands. We just won't let them use anything about us. And we don't grieve the Holy Spirit by not yielding to Him. We please the Holy Spirit, because when He deals with us, be tenderhearted, be kind, forgive. We let it go, forget it, cast the care of it over on the Lord. We're listening to Him and we're yielding to Him. And we're acting on His promptings and urgings, and that pleases Him. Isn't that the way to go? Skip down to the 5th chapter in closing. I sure hope you can come back, because this was only point one. There are more points. I guess this is point 1A that we're into right now. Ephesians 5, next chapter and 7. He said, don't be partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness. Unsaved people are not even trying to resist wrong thoughts. They're completely yielding to them. They say whatever crosses their mind. Anything that pops in, they just spit it out, not even trying to see where it came from, and are acting on many of the impulses, suggestions, and temptations without examining it. Can you see why the scripture said, try the spirits, test them, examine them, see which ones are of God, which ones are not. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So now walk as children of light. For the fruit of, now the King James says spirit, but really here it's the word light again. It's the word phos. Now in Galatians 5, it does say fruit of the Spirit. But here it says, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Holy Spirit is bringing us thoughts of righteousness, thoughts of goodness, thoughts of truth, thoughts of light. The enemy will never bring you such things. They don't have them to bring to you. Huh? But proving, verse 10, what is acceptable to the Lord. I mean, that's the same thing we've been talking about from our text. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We don't hang with evil spirits. We don't fellowship with evil spirits. We don't think their thoughts. We don't say their words. We don't act on their influences. The influences are real. They're around. There's lots of them. But they can't, did you hear that word? Can't make us do anything. Can't. 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 But they are experts at craftily, subtly, behind the scenes, influencing people without them even realizing it. But you and I are not in the dark. We are children of the light. And we are not ignorant of His devices and thoughts and mind attacks and games. And we are the children of light with the Spirit of light within us. And we have the fruit of light. Amen. You don't have to see in the Spirit to see when somebody is walking in faith and positive and victory and they're walking in love, and they're kind, and they're forgiving. You don't have to see in the Spirit to know what's going on. They are yielding to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When He brings something to their heart and mind, they don't grieve Him. They don't resist it. They yield to it. They're saying what He's given them to say, doing what He's showing them to do, walking in the light. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Stand on your feet, everybody.